Scripture passage will be found in the Epistle to the Romans, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I invite you to stand as we read God's word. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Please be seated. Dr. Lee, you may take our pulpit.
While driving down here this morning, you wouldn't know that I come this way 5 days a week. I am part of this community. I teach at Middletown High School, a special education teacher over there. And I was there last year. They asked me to come back this year. And I was supposed to have had some support from the school to be here today. But that's why the Savior asked us to put our trust in Him and not in man, because man will let you down. So I asked some people to be here. Oh yeah, I'd love to hear your message. I'd love to hear what you have to say about the Lord. And I'll be there Sabbath Wednesday. They asked me all these questions and I told them. But now I find myself here in your presence today by myself and alone. But I'm never alone because I have you. I would have loved for them to. It's their loss for them not being here today, because then they miss out on meeting all of you and the richness that you could bring to their lives. And so isn't that the same as with the Word of God? And it's just so sad that people don't trust in Him and are willing to be led by Him. But before I begin, let's just have a word of prayer. Father God, I don't know what these souls who sit before me are in need of, but dear Lord, I know that you do. I pray that you will put on my heart and can come through my lips something that will be uplifting, something that will be encouraging, something that will make those under the sound of my voice cry out, "For the Lord I live and for the Lord I die." Thank you, Father, for the opportunity to occupy this desk once again. And I ask these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. You know, we were asked a minute ago, what things are you thankful for? And as I drove down 84 that changed into 91, just that transition from 84 to 91, there's a way that you can continue straight into Hartford, and you don't have to get on the exit 86. You can bypass it. And this morning, for some reason, that exit before 86 was just congested. So I used that bypass, and I was able to get on 91 so many feet below the 86 exit. And there was not a car in sight. It was a straight sailing. And I just said, well, thank you, Lord, for reminding me that there's another way that I can get to Middletown. And then as I'm driving before then on 84, I saw the beautiful changing of the leaves. It's just so gorgeous. People come, as you know, from miles around, even from other countries, to see the changing of these leaves. And right, I've been blessed In my backyard, there's a stand of trees there. It's just like a postcard when you look at it now. It's just so beautiful. And all these things in nature gives us evidence of the greatness and power of the God that we serve. And it just helps us to continue to confirm the fact of how we should trust him. For over 6,000 years, he's caused the course of these nations, of these seasons, and this earth to revolve in this universe. And the changing of the seasons have come and gone. And if a power can be that magnificent, surely he can help us with our problems that we have. How much more should we not trust in him? How much more should we not follow his example? And I think it's difficult for us to follow his example because ever since we were children, we have been taught to be independent. We are taught to be able to go and use the restroom on our own and to wing ourselves from the help of our parents to do these things. We are taught to make a living for ourselves, independent of our neighbors. We are taught in the school system, there's competition for grades, for us to make an A and not make a D like another person does. So we are taught to depend upon ourselves. But that's not God's way. Then when we become grown and become part of God's kingdom, now we are said to surrender all to him. And for scrapping men, it's hard for us to give over our control to someone else. It's been said that it's easier for the feminine species to give over themselves more so than for the males to do this. And I think that's probably why maybe we see more women in the church than we do men. But we're not looking upon this audience. This could be a microcosm of what's happening in society. There are just as many men here as there are women. So I thank God and I praise God that we are able to get past the fact that we cannot do certain things by ourselves. And this is why we have these trials in our lives that show us that there are certain things that we can't do. There's certain problems that come up in our lives that are greater than we are. And we have to cry out for our Heavenly Father to help us. I've prepared just a few words here. And I know that from teaching, the attention span isn't that long, so I have to give it to you quickly. And then after that, then I know the mind has a tendency to linger, but what I want to give you, I want you to see that it's really not me. I'm speaking, but it's really not my words, but it's the words from the Spirit of Prophecy and also from the Holy Bible, which are our two pillars that we use. You heard that the opening scripture was Romans from taken from Romans 12, 1 and 2. But if I may, and I beg your indulgence just to listen to these words from Romans 12 and 1. As I was looking for a title for this message, it came to my mind to entitle it Surrendering to God. And whenever I was doing the research, using the Strong's Concordance, I looked up the word surrender. And do you know that that word is nowhere in the Bible? Is that word surrender in the Bible? And I thought that that was strange, since so much is based upon the fact that we have to surrender ourselves to God. We have to give up certain powers that we may have. We have to give up even trusting in ourselves and to trust in God. And then that way, and be willing to do that. And once we are willing to do that, then he will show us different things that we need to give up to have a closer walk with him. So I thought it was strange that the word surrender was not in the Bible anywhere. So no form of the word surrender can be found in the Holy Writ, yet it is essential that we fall on the rock and be broken. That's in Matthew 21, 44 and Luke 20 and 18. Before we enter into the heavenly courts and hear the sweet voice of the Savior say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." Matthew 25:21. As with the 10 virgins, each must possess a trimmed and burning lamp that Mrs. White says, the very best credentials we can carry is love for one another. All strife, all dissension is to cease. God will not accept the talents of the smartest, the most eloquent man if the inner lamp of the soul is not trimmed and burning. There must be a consecrated heart and a consecrated surrender of the soul. And that's from her letters 119 in 1899. We cannot sanctify ourselves or set ourselves apart as being holy since we are fallen creatures in need of a Savior. Therefore, this consecrated work must be done by the only holy and righteous God. We are to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. If we are willing, because he has given us this free will that we talked about in Bible study just this morning, this free will must be bent toward God's will. This is a miracle that must take place within us. And we must be willing to let God come to the helm and take over the helm of our lives and direct us in the paths that he wants us to go. This can be accomplished through much prayer and fasting. But we have to be willing to enter into prayer and fasting. Many times we ask God to do certain things for us. Oh, Lord, do this for me. Do this for me. Give me more money. Oh Lord, give me a nice house. Oh Lord, help me to be a better Christian. Well, the Lord has already given us the power to do these things. And He will not do for us things that He's already given us the power to do for ourselves. We, as we know, have been given these bodies that are wonderfully and amazingly made. We have, for instance, we have this immune system that He's given us that with just a little help to be fortified with vitamin D and zinc and melatonin, if you will, and a few other ingredients can fortify that immune system that will help us, that will rid ourselves of certain diseases and prevent us from even contracting certain diseases. Just this year, I've been all down to North Carolina, Virginia, Georgia, and I come in contact with hundreds of kids every day, coughing and sneezing all over me, and thank God I haven't even had a cold through all of this so-called crisis that we're having, this pandemic. And I began to question if, in fact, there's not another source, there's not another spirit that's behind all of this. And we've been given, we've not been given a spirit of fear, but to be a courageous ambassador for the Lord. And in every opportunity that I have, especially in the school system, I try to present the character of God, but without using His name. And I think that's wisdom, I think, because just as soon as you, and it's also the power, I think, of Satan within the school system, because just as soon as you use His name, then they come after you. Brother Slingo said within Bible study this morning, that if they hate Jesus, they're going to hate you. But we have to be, as the Bible says, we have to be as wise as serpents, but as harmless as doves when we're dealing with society these days. And we're going to have to learn more of that, I believe, in these coming days. We found that the early church members would send the children out to be ambassadors for the Lord, to spread the gospel, but they had to do it clandestinely. So I think we're going to have to be doing more of that kind of thing, because it's just something about that name of Jesus. Whenever we mention that name, Jesus, it causes scorn, it causes hatred from the enemy to work within people to come against you. But there's a myriad of different ways around that we'll have to use, I believe. Just how does God work with man for him to lay the foundation for his salvation? What does he demand us individually in the work of saving ourselves? God works in us by the light of his truth, which lighteneth every man that cometh into the world. The scriptures refer to the works of God as they are realized in our world, as so many teachers whose voices have gone out through the whole earth, proclaiming the attributes of God. The mind must see the truth, and he will bend to its claims when it is presented to us based upon scriptural evidence. Again, Romans 12:1, Psalms 19:1-4, manuscripts 49:18-98. The wind, the rain, the snow, the ice are all ministers to do God's will. Manuscript 16:18-97. Nature itself gives evidence that there is a great and mighty God behind this whole process. We must endeavor to follow him, especially when we don't understand. But it has been written that the righteous will live by faith. If we knew everything, if we had all the answers, well, then what would be the need to have faith? Man, fallen man, may be transformed by the renewing of the mind so that he can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How does he prove this? By the Holy Spirit taking possession of his mind, his spirit, his heart, and character. Where does the proving come in? We are made a spectacle unto the world and to angels and to men. A real work is wrought by the Holy Spirit upon the human character, and its fruits are seen. 1 Corinthians 4:9 and Philippians 2:12. Let's see what Philippians 2:12 and 13 says. Philippians 2 and 13. Philippians 12 and 13 in chapter 2. Shine like lights in a dark world. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Oh my. We both have a lot in common. But in God and his genius, he makes us unique. Each one of us, as was said earlier, said, the devil had better not come at me in the form of presenting cigarettes to me, but there may be something else. Yes. We all have that uniqueness, and unfortunately, the devil knows that about us, and that's why he knows what temptation to bring before us. But as a little girl said, if Jesus comes to the door and greets him at the door, well, then Satan runs away. He said, oh no, I know I'm in the wrong place now. Just heard that today. I thought that was good. But we all have certain weaknesses. We all have certain sins, and we know what they are. And it's important that we are honest before God. And just be honest with him. Just have a conversation with him. Lord, you know me, you've made me, you formed me. You want me to enter into your kingdom because you love me. And you've already proven that you love me because you gave your son on my behalf. Help me with this particular problem. And it works. It works. I'm sorry. I stopped there. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now, that adversary, get this, to will and to do of his good pleasure, look what the adversary will do. This will that God has given us, the will that he's given us, free moral agency, this will that forms so important a factor in the character of man was at the fall given into the control of Satan. And he has ever been working in man to will and to do of his own pleasure, but to the utter ruin and misery of man. Ellen White, Testimonies of the Church, that's volume 5, page 515. In order to receive God's help, man must realize his weakness and deficiencies. He must apply his mind to the great change to be wrought in himself. He must be aroused to earnest and persevering prayer and effort. Wrong habits and customs must be shaken off. And it is only by determined endeavor to correct these errors and to conform to the right principles that the victory can be gained. Many never attain to the position that they might occupy because they wait for God to do for them that which he has given them power to do for themselves. All who are fitted for usefulness must be trained by the severest mental and moral discipline, and God will assist them by uniting divine power with human effort. Ellen G. White, Patriots and Prophets, page 248. In order to receive God's help, we must be honest, we must be open and say, Lord, these things are too great for me. I need your assistance. I need your help. We present ourselves as a holy sacrifice before the Lord. When sacrificing an animal according to God's law, a priest killed the animal and cut it into pieces and placed it on the altar. Sacrifice was important, but even in the Old Testament, God made it clear that obedience from the heart was much more important. You're urged in to see Samuel 15:22, Psalms 40 and 6, and Amos 5:21-24. God wants us to offer ourselves, to offer ourselves and not animals as living sacrifices. Daily laying aside our own desires to follow him, putting all our energy and resources at his disposal and trusting him to guide us. We do this out of gratitude that our sins have been forgiven. Yeah, why do we do all this? Out of gratitude, because our sins have been forgiven. God has good, pleasing, and perfect plans for his children. He wants us to be new people with renewed minds, living to honor and obey him. Since he wants only what is best for us, and since he gave his son to make our new life possible, we should joyfully volunteer as living sacrifices for his service. Whenever I was asked to come down here and give this message, within me, I wrestled with it, because within me, on one hand, this flesh said, well, you're overly taxed already. You have a lot on your plate already. You teach full time. All these different excuses. But then a small voice said, well, whenever you were in the hospital in 2015, you said that you would sacrifice all for me. And you said that whatever you had an opportunity to go speak, that you would never, that you would always say yes and wouldn't say no. And then it was also, I felt within my soul, it said, well, whenever you take the desk and stand in the gap for me, that I will go before you and everything will be okay. So it's kind of like whenever Moses was standing there and he was making all these different excuses, and then God said, well, Moses, what is that in your hand? He has given us so many different talents. He's given us so many opportunities. He has made us in such a way, and he wants to have communion and to dwell within us. He wants to be our all in all. We should want to be his all in all. And once these two, once our minds and his mind come together, there's no force in the universe that can stop us. And we have nothing to fear. There's nothing to fear. There is a division within our own church, because Ms. White has told us that in the end days that we will have more to fear from within than from without. But there is an echelon in our church that believes that we cannot be perfect. But that's a lie, and that's a trick of Satan. Because God said, be ye perfect just as I am perfect. So we should be striving to put away this old man and walk in this newness of life that he has prepared for us. Christians are called to be not conformed to this world with its behavior and customs that are usually selfish and often corrupting. Many Christians wisely decide that much worldly behavior is off limits to them. Our refusal to conform to this world's values, however, must go even deeper than the level of behavior and customs. It must be firmly formed in our minds. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. It is possible to avoid most worldly customs. It is possible to avoid most worldly customs and still be proud, covetous, selfish, stubborn, and arrogant. Only when the Holy Spirit renews, re-educates, and redirects our minds are we truly transformed. And in closing, since you've been so patient and put up with me so far, I want to tax you just a little bit further and ask for you to allow me to read this to you as well. The Father sets his, and this comes from a lesson that we learned last quarter from the Crucible. Because in these crucibles is where our characters are formed. And thank God for the crucibles, because they shape us to be the men and women that God wants us to be. The Father sets his love upon his elect people who live in the midst of men. These are the people whom Christ has redeemed by the price of his own blood. And because they respond to the drawing of Christ, through the sovereign mercy of God, they are elected to be saved as obedient children. Upon them is manifested the free grace of God, the love wherewith he hath loved us. everyone who will humble himself as a little child, who will receive and obey the word of God with a child's simplicity, will be among the elect of God. Our High Calling, page 77. When the beloved John, I called upon you to behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the Son of God. What love, what matchless love, that sinners and aliens as we are, we may be brought back to God and adopted into his family. We may address him by the endearing name Our Father, which is a sign of our affection for him and a pledge of his tender regard and relationship to us. Many who confess the name of Christ and claim to be looking for his speedy coming know not what it is to suffer for Christ's sake. Their hearts are not subdued by grace, and they are not dead to themselves, as is often shown in various ways. At the same time, they are talking of having trials. But the principal cause of their trials is an unsubdued heart, which makes self so sensitive that it often crossed. If such could realize what it is to be humble, to be a humble follower of Christ, a true Christian, they would begin to work in good earnest and begin right. They would first die to self, then be instant in prayer. And I think this is the key to surrendering to God. First, we must die to self, then be instant in prayer, and check every passion of the heart. Give up your self-confidence and seek and self-sufficiency, brethren, and follow the meek pattern. Ever keep Jesus in your mind, that he is your example, and you must tread in his footsteps. Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. He endured the contradiction of the sinners against himself. He for our sins was once meek, slain lamb, wounded, bruised, smitten, and afflicted. Let us then joyfully offer something for Jesus' sake. Crucify self daily and be partakers of Christ's suffering here, that we may be made partakers with him of his glory and be crowned with glory, honor, immortality, and eternal life. That comes from the early writings, page 113 and 114. May the Lord give a blessing to the hearing and reading of his word. And thank you so much for allowing me to come down here in your beautiful church. Every time I come here, it looks more and more beautiful. And thank you for having me.
Father, may that be the theme of our day, of our lives, each and every moment. May we be submitted and consecrated to Christ. And Father, we pray that as we dismiss, that your blessing will rest upon us, and that we will walk in the light of your love and in your presence. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen.